Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How's everyone feel today?
Good.
I've been asked that a few times this morning. I'm feeling great. I'm feeling better. Nancy and I think, have exercised the plague from our house. So, bought a case of Lysol and a Mucinex. So, I think we're in pretty good shape. So, thank you all for your concern this morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning and worship together. So, we'll prepare ourselves here in a moment. Few announcements this morning. Our pumpkin patch. Well, don't forget your Connect cards, of course. You should know that by now. There'll be a Connect card in your bulletin there. Just put your name or anything on there you'd like us to know and drop it in the offering plate as it comes by this morning. That would be great. A few announcements. Our Dining Out with Lakeside Ladies is this week on Tuesday at 5 p.m. It should be in your bulletins. I don't know where they're eating this week, but join them, ladies of the church. They have a great time for fellowship and food, and be sure to come out for that. We are having a Thanksgiving Eve service on Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. with Holy Communion, and then we call it Breaking of the Bread afterwards over in the fellowship hall. A time of fellowship. Bring your favorite type of bread or pastry and some toppings or whatever it is, and we'll have a time of fellowship after church on Wednesday evening. So be sure to come out and join us as we prepare ourselves this week for Thanksgiving as well. We did have Matthew Meals yesterday. We thank you for the folks who came out and helped with that. We had 15 volunteers and we served 182 meals. So some folks got some Thanksgiving dinners yesterday, and thank you all for being a part of that. An update on our pumpkin patch, our final report from Mr. Kent, our pumpkin patch facilitator. I don't know what we should call Farmer Kent, but he did a great job this year. He spent a lot more hours out in the patch than normal. It wasn't quite as a productive year for us. I think we had some things going on here in the community. The FEMA thing really blew us up around here. The traffic was blocked for 4 or 5 days. We just didn't see much traffic coming through the neighborhood. So, but we did bring in $3,842 this year. That's good. And we can sit down from the previous year. Our share of that will be $960.50. And we have four ministries here locally that we, and the Florida Children's Home, of course, Cross Ministries, Adopt a Family, and First Care Pregnancy Center are four charities that will be sending all of that money back out to you. So if you had anything to do with pumpkin patch this year, thank you very much for purchasing pumpkins and being part of our fall festival that we had here the week before. And we just had a great time. And thank you for everyone that helped put that on this year. Thank you very much for that. Read your bulletins. There's a lot going on in there. A couple of birthdays today. Marie Gerbus. Marie is here with us today, down here in the third row, is 95 years old. And Mary Ann Deal, she was 91 yesterday. So, I have to update my 90 plus roster. But we had 17 folks about 2 months ago in this church affiliated with our church over 90 years old. Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
17 folks. 90 or above. So, Mary, happy birthday, Marie, and wish her a happy birthday today when you see her after church. Let's prepare our hearts and minds for worship this morning, all right?
Thank you.
come and stay awake and be alert.
Together in expectation of the day, as the children of God's light and love.
God calls out, come and share in my happiness.
We gather in faith this day to worship our God.
Our opening hymn this morning is 452 in the hymnals, My Faith Looks Up to Thee.
Thank you.
You may be seated. I'd like to invite the young folks to come forward this morning. Come on up. Hurry, run. Want to come up? Good morning. How are you all? Hurry up. Let's go. Move it. Move it. Move it. I'm allowing you to run in church. Good morning. What's happening this week? No good morning?
Good morning.
Good morning. What's going on this week? Are you in school?
No.
No? You're not in school? What's this week? Thanksgiving. What does Thanksgiving mean? What do we do on Thanksgiving? Eat turkey? Who likes turkey? Everybody likes turkey? You like ham? Who has ham for Thanksgiving? Both? Okay, since it's Thanksgiving, what are you thankful for? Tell me one thing you're thankful for. Let's go all the way across. Think about it. What are you thankful for? God, okay? And their house and God? His mom and dad? Okay, you got two choice chances down here to have another answer. So you two be thinking of something else. Destiny? Catriona is best friend. Cat? Oh, come on. Sophia. Family and friends. Curie. Your home, your house, that's a good one. PlayStation. Now we're getting to the good stuff. Family? Now, you two, I'm expecting a different answer from you two. Go ahead. My mom and dad, that's good. Okay, you're the last one here. What are you thankful for? Do I have to give you a hint? She's in that little carrier over there. Gosh, mom and dad, they didn't... Aren't any of you all thankful for Gabby? Okay, we have a new baby here. Okay, what were you going to say? Your sister, now he's got it. Okay. What's this? A horn? Who was in BBS? A hat? It's been pregnant. That's the same part, isn't it? You guys are too young. You don't know what this is? What do you see at Thanksgiving with this? A cornucopia! What do you put in here? Food? How come they use something like this to put food in that represents Thanksgiving? You think Uncle Elmer at the end of Thanksgiving Day was wearing it as a hat? Okay. What I think this represented for folks that gathered their food, because they would put their food in here and carry it, right? This is a cornucopia, so you would put food in here and you could transport your food around. But when they had this on the Thanksgiving table, they were thankful for what? For food! Because you know what? In those days, food was sort of hard to come by sometimes. You didn't always know if you were going to have a meal. But things were going so good for those early pilgrims and the Indians that were there with them that they said, let's have a big meal together and celebrate having food. Now we meet on Thanksgiving Day and celebrate having football. Right? We watch football on Thanksgiving? Well, that's not really a great thing to be thankful for. But we're thankful for everything that we have, our food, our families, our house, a roof over our head? Why do you think we only do that once a year? Are we only thankful once a year for what we have?
No.
So is every day a Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Do you, every day when you do your prayers, do you say, thank you, God, for all the special things that I have today? So when you pray, every day say, thank you, Lord, for the special things that I have. Okay? Well, let's pray together, and I'm going to thank God for all of you, okay? Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for these awesome young people here today. Father, each one of us has something great to be thankful for, and I'm thankful for them and them being in our church today and for what they represent to you, your children. And for that, we are grateful. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and we all say, Amen. All right, off to Sunday school for some of you. Good job. Are you allowed to wear a hat in church? You know I knew one of them would say that. This is the week we celebrate Thanksgiving, and we truly are blessed, each one of us. You know, even during the hardest of times and things look bleak, there are blessings all around us, isn't there? And that we should celebrate every day. I pray that your prayers each morning as your feet hit the floor are thanking God for the blessings of the day and just for the new, fresh breath of air that we get to take. A lot of folks this week have been in touch with us about recurring injuries and some diagnoses that weren't so great. So in our time of our prayer here, I would ask you to lift up those that have gone unmentioned either by mouth or by written request this morning. And just know that God hears your prayers. Lift these folks up this week especially as well. Al Jordan, Al's here with us today. I got a call from Debbie, his daughter, that he's got a recurrence of his cancer. So he's going to be having more surgery and chemotherapy. So Albert, we're going to continue to pray for you, brother, and keep you lifted up through these troubled times. So keep Albert in your prayer as well. We heard from Bernice O'Hannis that Carol Ann Straubinger fell and broke her hip. She's up in Michigan, I guess, where Bernice is as well. Mary Ann Peel, not only was it her birthday yesterday, but she's been diagnosed, or they found some spinal fractures, and they're continuing to try to find ways to treat that. So just keep Mary Ann in your prayers these times. Buddy Carr as well, she's in assisted living. Chuck Blankenship, good to see Chuck in church today. Chuck, it's good to see you. Thought he had some heart problems, but come to find out he's only got pneumonia. So that's great. But he's being treated for pneumonia, and Chuck will continue to pray for you. And Joyce didn't feel well this morning, so Joyce has stayed home as well. Mary Ann Davis, we do continue to pray for Mary Ann as well. Robin and Anna, Robin Riles and Anna, her sister, and Barbara Russell's daughters. The updates each day are very good. Things are progressing. The livers on both of them are starting to grow, so they're seeing evidence that they are regenerating themselves. It seems now that Anna may be released before Robin is. Robin developed blood clots. I brought that news to you last week. But she continues to struggle. She got a doctor's appointment on Tuesday. She's hoping to get cleared from the doctor and be on the road at least by Wednesday and be home and be back with us next Sunday as well. We're praying for JoJo lifted up this prayer request this morning, Olivia Wilson. She's having cranial wall surgery, and this is the 10th procedure, and she's only 19 months old, so she's got some serious medical problems. And just pray for her family and for the medical team and her friends. And this is actually JoJo's son's fiance's daughter, so she has a close tie with Libby Wilson. So just lift them up in prayers this week. We continue to lift up Nancy Larka, she's a Signature Healthcare, and pray for healing family relationships with Karen Snyder this morning, Karen. So we'll definitely lift up your family in prayer this morning. said, many things you can bring to the altar this morning. Let's go to the Lord we trust with our prayer. We pray with him, please. Loving God, as usual, our list is long this morning. Father, many among us are suffering the ravages of illness and disease, the ravaging of our bodies of age. Father, we pray for each name lifted up here today. Wherever the physical healing, the emotional healing is needed, Father, we bring them to you this morning. Father, we bring them this morning because we trust you. And we know that you are at work in the midst of these situations. Father, we pray for relationships. We pray for family tensions this holiday season as we come now up into holiday, the Thanksgiving and Christmas season. Father, sometimes those can be painful moments in our lives. I pray this year, Lord, that we can look at the joy that comes from Jesus Christ. No matter what the troubling things are we face each day, let us seek God first and trust him. Trust that things will be better. But Father, today we pray for each individual in this place and those outside these walls that we have connection with, whether it be friend, family, a neighbor, a stranger, crossing without conversation. Father, today we pray that you would make us an instrument of your healing, that we could affect people's lives as a Christ follower and sow seeds of hope among the hopeless. Father God, today we pray for our nation. We pray for our leaders. We pray for the world, Lord. We continue to hear of violence each day, senseless, meaningless, thoughtless. And we pray that your peace would come upon the nations. That we would see leaders seek you first when making decisions. Father, today we pray for a broken world. And Father, we pray today for all Christ's followers. So Heavenly Father, be with us in our time of worship today. Father, we come seeking your face in these moments. And Father, we are grateful that you will listen to us. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let us pray together. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not
Another said, "Sir, you gave me 2,000 coins, and I have earned 2,000 more." When we receive God's gifts and then offer them back in gratitude, God responds with abundance. God invites us to offer our gifts to the world, trusting in God's unending generosity. Would the ushers please come forward to receive our offering?
Thank you.
here through Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, the letters that Paul wrote to the early church. Paul is encouraging the church. Do we need encouraging today, do you think? Gosh, I'm telling you what. We need encouragement. Paul's words today, I'm going to read from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Please stand if you're able for the reading of God's word this morning. I'm going to read 1 through 10 for you, and then 11 is the one I want you to remember. We don't need to write to you about the timing and dates, brothers and sisters. You know very well that the day of the Lord is going to come like a thief in the night. When they are saying there is peace and security, at that time sudden destruction will attack them. Like labor pains start with a pregnant woman, and they definitely won't escape. But you aren't in darkness, brothers and sisters, so the day won't catch you by surprise like a thief. All of you are children of light and children of the day. We don't belong to night or darkness. So then, let's not sleep like the others, but let's stay awake and stay sober. People who sleep at night, and people who get drunk at night. Since we belong to the day, let's stay sober, wearing faithfulness and love as a piece of armor that protects our body, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. God didn't intend for us to suffer his wrath, but rather to possess salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with him. Hear this. So continue encouraging each other and building each other up, just like you are doing already. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for these encouraging words from Paul. He needed to remind this early church that they are to encourage one another. And Father, we pray that we can be a faithful church as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. You feel that in our society, in our culture today, that people are less connected to one another?
Yes.
What's caused that? You know, I've got a pretty good answer. It's right here. Wait a minute, somebody on Facebook posted that. See what I mean? I know I'm distracted by those things. People that study such things say that our kids today don't know how to deal with one another, to talk to other people, to talk to adults. I've noticed that, have you? Some of our children today don't know how to communicate with adults. Have they sat in front of the TV a lot? Have they had a game to play? Have they taken themselves out of interacting with others? Something for us to think about. A generation ago, people belonged to organizations. How many of you today, and I know some of you being older, you were probably members of Kiwanis or whatever it is, social civic organizations. How many did that in their past? See, a lot of you. How many of you still do that? See, about half the hand or more went down. Robert Putnam, a professor at Harvard University, wrote a book. It's called Bowling Alone. Who belonged to a bowling league? How many today belong to a bowling league? Boy, you're busy. I don't know. You raised your hand for everything. Good, but you're the only one. She's the only one. Anyone else in a bowling league?
Not today.
Why aren't we in a bowling league anymore? We bowled in a church bowling league, and it was churches all over Boynton Beach, down at AMF Boynton Lanes. don't even know what year that started. Probably in the mid-90s, somewhere in there. We had like 30 teams. It went on for 10 years, and we had three teams. Where did everyone go? They got old. Some of them did. Is that an implication of what's going on in our churches today? They got too old to bowl, and there were no younger people coming along that were interested in bowling? You know, that is very telling to us today. That's a trivial example. Robert Putnam, in his book, had other examples of people volunteering in political campaigns. Any of you do that? Politics is a dirty word now, isn't it? If you do it, you do it in hiding, right? PTA. Who belonged to PTA when your kids were young? We don't have many young people in here today that have children, young of school-age children. But I wonder how many of them today belong to PTA. Putnam here says less than half the people from the 70s parents now participate in PTA. People don't visit one another very much anymore. When we lived in Little Fredericktown, Missouri, in the summertime in the evening, we would sit out on the porch, and all the neighbors would come out. You know, how several houses down the block and around the block, we'd all come out, bring their lawn chairs, and we'd set their yard. I live in Leisureville in Boynton Beach now. There's a lot of people in those houses, I know. You know what? Neighbors don't come out and visit with one another. I don't know the neighborhood you live in. A lot of you live in this neighborhood. Do the neighbors come out and sit on the front porch? I used this example in the past. We built houses 100 years ago with huge front porches, didn't we? The houses built today have no front porch. You have a door. The big porch is in the back, behind the fence. The tall fence, and then the tall hedge. So your neighbors can't see into your yard. They have garages now. The door goes up, car goes in, door goes down. You don't even speak to your neighbors when you get out of your car anymore. What does that say about us as people? Aren't people, God made us to be in community with one another, didn't he? He made us to reach out to others. Where is this coming from? As Christians, we can be considered rowing against the current. As a church, Matthew Meals, we had 180-some folks come yesterday, or at least representing that many folks, families, that came and received a Thanksgiving dinner from us. They went home and ate their dinner, I suspect, alone. I know they have neighbors. I know they have people they know. Why aren't we gathering together? Our scripture this morning said, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing that today. Are we doing that in our communities? In our churches? Encouragement is important. I've spoken about Barnabas. You know, Barnabas means the encourager. And my spiritual gifts assessment, encouragement came up. And I think today, what am I doing to encourage others? I hope I come here at least on Sunday morning and give you hope. If I'm not giving you hope, I'm sorry, I'm not doing my job. Because there's always hope. First Corinthians, it says, I want to read this scripture. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, and they are foolishness to him. 1 Corinthians 1:18. Do we like to be thought of as a fool? No, absolutely not. We don't say how many of us are fools, but how many of us are considered foolish by those we care about and love because we're Christians. It's not easy being a Christian, is it? A Christ follower. You know, there's politicians in the news right now saying, I'm a Christian. He's a Christian. He would never do anything like that. How come when politicians get in trouble, they don't mind going out Christian? But when they're not in trouble, you never hear them speak of their church or their faith, do you? Very rarely. You've got to pull out all the stops, throw out the Christ card, right? Throw out the Christ card. Christians, I think, have a bad name today. It's not easy being one. Remember Kermit the Frog? His song included the line, it's not easy being green. It's not easy being a Christian, is it? You know what takes some of the pressure off? Christ follower. Christian today has some negative connotations with it. I think Christ follower should be our new label, our new tag. We're Christ followers. We believe in the good news of Jesus Christ. Folks, let's not be Christians. Isn't that an awful thing to say from the pulpit? Let's not be Christians. The Christian's worst enemy are Christians, right? You know, you always hear the old saying, we're our own worst enemy. But folks, we're not here to throw stones at one another. We're here that when we suffer and fall and when we sin, any sinners here today? Okay, half of you are sinners. I don't know about the other half. I'm accused of that. The liar does harm the sinners, right? So, okay, you're not a sinner. Are you a liar? Now the other half of the hand should go up. Okay. See, there it is. Okay. Folks, I've got a video to show today. I hope it works right because we're technologically challenged here.
I'll wait a minute.
We still got PTA meetings we go to, so you know what kind of shape we're in. In a minute, okay, before you start that though, on November 3rd, and then this young lady passed away, I believe in 2003, but I came across this story because they're still running a race up in Boston. It coincides with the Boston Marathon sometime around then. But on November 3rd, the Katie Lynch Foundation held a race. And you hear her story here in a minute. This video is a little bit long, but I wanted to end with this today. Because why I wanted to end with this story is, this young lady was an encourager. And when I heard her story, I said, if she can be an encourager, what's wrong with the rest of us? She has the best attitude of someone with disabilities I've ever heard. And the line that I want you to listen for in this is, she says, every person is worth it. As challenged as her life was, Katie inspired others. Her foundation lives on today. Her parents, she's got several siblings, normal siblings. Normal meaning full-size people. You know, why do we do that? I just did that. Why do we do that? What's normal? I would like to think her attitude was normal for people. But when you watch this, you're going to find out that I wish we were all as normal as Katie. So, Anne, if we can get that up, and I'm going to end with this, because I think this is an encouraging word. And if I stand before you on Sunday, if nothing else, I hope you leave here encouraged and have hope. Because if you don't, I'm certainly not doing my job. And all of us are called to be encouragers. So let's run the video. This is Katie Lynch. I think the video is actually from 2001. It's an old video because she passed away a year or two after this video was made. Miss Annie, can you get it going?
Yes, sir.
I became part of the fabric of my life.
The most important lesson that Katie taught me is really to give back to others and to help them achieve their personal best.
Katie was small and powerful and had these ideas about how things needed to work in the world. She worked to try to make that happen.
She would make anything possible, and she always wanted to give and overcome challenges just to keep giving other people hope.
Basically, what Katie taught me was to be proud of who I am.
The Taylor's Foundation is an extension of Katie's spirit.
If we come together in the right spirit, good things are going to happen.
I feel like I'm a friend.
The Katie Lynch Foundation is a tribute to a tiny giant with a big heart and unwavering determination to change the way we think about inclusion for people with special needs.
3, 2, 1,
go! Marathon Monday, 2001. The star of this race isn't even a runner, but thousands cheer as Katie Lynch fulfills a dream of participating in the Boston Marathon, painfully walking 26.2 feet.
This is an amazing, emotional moment in the history of Boston Marathon. I've been involved for 38 years.
How was it?
Used to wear a form below engine to cut it. She just believed that if you just kept trying and kept participating, that it would make all the difference. And so she, her legacy is that she just kept participating.
Katie was born with a form of dwarfism so rare it has no name. Doctors told her parents she would not live, but she did for 27 years, and oh, how she lived. Despite constant pain, she worked as a patient advocate for Children's Hospital and was a sought-after public speaker.
It was the love and care that I received here that really brought me to want to work here and give back to them what they've given to me.
She had all these challenges to overcome, but still wasn't thinking about herself. She was still focused on other people in her life. So it's not just the thing that amazes me is not just the, you know, tackling all these obstacles, but it's the manner in which she did it without ever making anything about herself. It was always about other people still.
Katie was certainly had the mindset of an athlete. I mean, Katie wanted a challenge. She wanted to find a challenge and take it on and express herself.
Katie took on challenges in academia as well, graduating summa cum laude from Regis College, surprising everyone by leaving her wheelchair and walking on stage to pick up her degree. After Katie's passing in 2002, her family and friends began looking for ways to honor her passionate belief that everybody is special and should have the opportunity to participate. Thus was born the Katie Lynch Foundation.
The thing that really excites me about the Katie Lynch Foundation is that we walk the walk with Katie. We saw what was hard for people with all kinds of challenges, and we saw what love can do and what even small amounts of money can do. And you open what may seem to you to be an inconsequential door and a child or a young person or even an adult may walk through that door and their whole life may be different.
Katie's magic was in the air on a beautiful Sunday, May 31st, the first annual Katie Lynch Heartbreak Hill Half Marathon, as more than 300 runners took to the streets to raise money and awareness for the foundation.
I think this race has its challenges. It's full of hills, and you know, just when you think you're down the hill, you turn a corner and there are more hills. It can definitely challenge a runner, and I think it just reflects the spirit of Katie. I mean, there's always challenges in life, and you can overcome them if you try.
We wanted something that people would put on their calendar months in advance and say, you know what, I want to run on Heartbreak Hill. The second side of it is we also wanted to have the synthesis of a quality running event with something that is inclusive, which is what Katie was all about, making sport inclusive.
On your mind, get set, and finish.
While the runners met their challenges on the streets, differently abled athletes became the first to participate in the Purple Shoes Challenge, named for the customized purple running shoes Katie wore at her Boston Marathon.
Katie came in a very unusual package. 28 inches tall, 7-inch arms, required personal care, but was as independent as any person I've ever met.
Brings together those who knew Katie and those who didn't, but all are inspired by that little engine that could.
She was the most generous person you'd ever want to know. I mean, my God, she turned around and gave you the shirt off the back if she could. She was just, she helped you out any way humanly possible.
She sounded like an amazing person, and so that has inspired me to come here because I too want to inspire people.
Everyone has challenges, everyone has disabilities, some you can see, some you can't. But it's important to focus on what we're all able to do.
The second annual Katie Lynch Heartbreak Hill Half Marathon and Purple Shoes Challenge is set for Sunday, May 16, 2010. Katie's family and friends point out that while Katie looked different, she had common dreams. And while her life was a constant struggle, she constantly found ways around the barriers.
When people talk about feeling the vibrations of a butterfly in China at the Class in America, you can still feel Katie's vibration.
She brought me an understanding of how to relate to people with a disability. She brought me an understanding of how important attitude is. She inspired me, the student inspired the teacher, more than the teacher.
This is aimed at a belief system, which is every human being is worth it. Everybody deserves access to community.
So the mission of the foundation was pretty clear that we needed to continue to open the doors that Katie was working on opening.
Why?
Yet all these years later, she's still changing people's lives. Father, I pray that each one of us, as we leave this place today, would seek ways to make a difference. Every human being is worth it. And for that, we're grateful, Lord. Father, we love you. Give us your guidance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please stand for our closing hymn as we close. Finish up here today. Blessed Assurance from 369. Jesus Christ.